You're listening to Flex World, the Workplace Revolution, a podcast from Office R&D. This is a show for business owners, flex space operators, and CEOs looking for guidance on how to start and effectively run a hybrid or flexible workforce. You're about to hear a conversation about the exciting future of work, the return to office, logistics of a hybrid workplace, and more. Let's dive right in.
Hi, everybody. My name is Colin Demude, and I'm the product marketing manager for Office R&D. And welcome to our episode of Flex World, the Workplace Revolution. We're really excited about sharing some knowledge from CEOs all over the globe and software providers and people who are experiencing the ins and outs of a flexible and hybrid workplace. Joining me today are Mike Everts. Mike, you want to say something about yourself real quick?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. My name is Michael Everts. I am the Flex Product Marketing Manager at Office R&D and have been in the flexible workspace industry for almost 7 years now. I founded a co-working space in 2016 in Atlanta and have been heavily involved with Office R&D and speaking with operators every day to, you know, talk about running and managing flexible workspaces and supporting hybrid work. So we're so excited to be here with Colin and Mira today and get this podcast started.
Yeah, so we're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth. Tremendous experience from Mike and from Miro. So with us, our guest today is Miro Slavov, who is the, and I hope I pronounced that halfway right, I'm working on my Bulgarian. Miro is co-founder and CEO of Office R&D, which is a global software solutions provider for flexible and hybrid workplaces. And he's been doing this for... 7+ years. So between Mike and Miro and the rest of the team, there's just a tremendous amount of knowledge we're going to share with you today. So I'm excited about having you on. Miro, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and maybe the journey of Office R&D, how you went, you know, pre-COVID and during COVID and maybe post and some of the challenges and the things that you've learned along the way?
Right. Well, thanks so much for the introduction, Colin. And I'm super excited to be here with you and get the Flex world going. So I honestly believe that the world is going to be really flexible in the future. I'm keen to dig in. A couple words about myself. I'm an ex-software engineer, studied computer science, so probably I can say I'm a tech entrepreneur. No, that sounds cliche, but that's what it is. So I've been coding for about 10, 15 years happily, and it's been the best time of my life. And then got this idea with another Miro, just to make things simpler, to build a workplace management platform. That was in late 2014. So, but long story short, we basically wanted to figure out a better way to manage the workplace of a very fast changing, fast moving, dynamic company. So we were part of a software company that was growing really exponentially, both in revenues and in terms of employees over the last several years, when we thought that the whole office management was a mess and the flexibility that the company wanted to provide wasn't quite there, and there was so much uncertainty of how things are working and resentment of how the office is managed, and we thought this can be managed in a better way. And after the company exited and all that, we decided to give this idea a chance and build a platform to manage a flexible way of working and flexible workplaces. And then, very long story short, we've been on a journey for the last 7 years, redefining how we work, working with currently with 1,000 customers worldwide that are managing more than 2,000, probably a few hundred flexible spaces and hybrid workplaces around the whole world. I think we have customers in more than 130 countries, which is super exciting. COVID really didn't make our lives easier. In fact, it was arguably the perfect storm for the entire office industry. But these global catastrophes, I would say, also create opportunities. So I'd love to dig into this.
Yeah, you were clearly headed in the right direction, building software for co-working spaces for flexible workforces.
Yeah.
So what happened, what happened with that transition? Was the company flexible prior to COVID? And then what happened during COVID? And what's kind of the format and the model now? How have you evolved during that time?
So we've always been super flexible. We've always been working, first of all, in co-working spaces. So although we are almost 30, 40 people now across the globe, we've never ever leased a space. So I don't know what this is all about. I can talk a little about flexible working. And in fact, I mean, throughout the years, we explored the idea of getting, let's say, a permanent office. And we've always looked into the details, and we were like, this is not possible ever. I mean, this looks horrible, all these contracts and like 10-year leases and massive deposits and all of it. And I was like, no, I can't.
Was it more of a cost impact that, made you go this direction?
Well, I mean, it is the cost, but it's more of the fixing things up that, in my opinion, I cannot fix. I cannot see like 7-10 years in the future and how things look like. I mean, we can be a few thousand people and we can be half, I don't know. And things are fluid and dynamic. And I don't see how my office can be so static.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And that's why we've always been in a co-working spaces that are offering the workplace experience to our teammates. Which always been great experience. I mean, we've never thought about things like buying chairs and maintaining space and physical things. This is certainly better handled by professionals, and we don't have this part of our team. I mean, we are a tech company, and we don't know how to do these things. So we prefer to have people with an extremely good sense of hospitality and providing services to us rather than trying to do this ourselves. So yeah, before COVID, we've been, always been in co-working spaces around the world, always been a great experience. And then, so COVID happened. And obviously, first of all, we are in a co-working space, but second of all, we are building a software for co-working and flex spaces, right? So we've thought that this is not just the perfect storm, but it's like the worst storm that we could have ever imagined. Like people completely not being able to use the services that all of our customers were providing. So we seriously thought that this is it. It's over, and most of our customers will inevitably go out of business because they won't be able to pay their leases, and they will lose most of their customers. So eventually, they won't need the software for managing as well their spaces. So we kind of started preparing for this end of the world. But luckily, that didn't happen. There was a shock, obviously, and unfortunately, we lost some awesome customers. They went out of business. But for the most part, nothing as bad actually happened. Most of our customers survived, and they grew, and they've always been very excited about the future because all of them were seeing that after the storm, there will be the sun rising at the horizon, and it's actually looking very promising. And even today, I mean, the world of flex looks more positive than ever before. So we survived. We survived the perfect storm, and we grew tremendously well throughout this period. And yeah, we see as well that flexibility will be playing a bigger role in the future of work.
Yeah, well, hats off to you and the other co-founder, Miro, for being as forward-thinking and for living the solution like you did. You know, I read yesterday that Brian Chesky, the CEO of Airbnb, he announced that the entire company would be hybrid remote forever. I think he announced it last month. And so I'm a little bit slow on the uptake here, but he said there are no requirements to be in the office other than maybe, we'll do quarterly meetings or something like that, maybe monthly, regional, but quarterly company meetings. And, you know, what was fascinating was I remember that Eric Schmidt, who the former CEO of Google, one of the most innovative companies, tech companies in history, you know, he comes out and he says, I'm a traditionalist. I don't know how to manage well in a remote first situation. And I want employees to be back 3 days in the office, no matter what. And here's a fascinating stat that I read. I think it was in a different article that after Airbnb announced that every employee could work remote forever at Airbnb, they got 800,000 hits on their career page.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how many they normally get, but I think that's a big number even for Airbnb. And I bet you a lot of them were from Google and from Apple. And
yep, dissatisfied. No, I was reading, Colin. Yeah, it was something like 250% increase from what they had before, you know? And so literally a huge people are surging and looking there.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, to your point, Apple, on the other hand, initially kind of tried to roll out a little bit more restricted hybrid policies where you had to go into the work, like you said. And the employees did not take kindly to it. There was employee outrage and, you know, all sorts of stuff to try to get it to a more normal or a more hybrid approach that's coming into the office less, not more. So it's been so interesting to see the way that the different companies are reacting to this and then their employees as well.
Yeah. Well, that's why we call this the workplace revolution.
Yep.
Well, yeah, guys, I hope that at some point you'll be able to get Brian on the podcast. I'd love to hear his story. Yeah. and his point of view on how it's working. And obviously Airbnb is... it's a company that must do it. They live and thrive on flexibility of living, and it's inevitable to bring this flexibility also to working, because we live and we work and it's all mixed up together.
Yeah, they were pioneers. So yeah, that would be fascinating. Maybe we'll reach out to Brian. And I'd love to have Eric Schmidt on too, the former Google CEO.
Totally.
And you know, you know, Brian said that companies, that the office was pre-digital. And to think of Google as pre-digital, when of course they were not, is just bizarre. Yeah, I'll share another interesting statistic, but you know, I love having CEOs on, because there's a lot of, I guess, media outlash against CEOs and leaders who are trying to make a good decision for the right reasons, but they're totally getting vilified in social media. And employees are revolting. And, you know, as a CEO, did you struggle with anything, any of this, or was it somewhat natural for you? Was there any part of accountability or anything that you worried about?
Yeah, well, I'd say we struggled. I mean, I struggled. It's a really, although we've always been living the life of a flexible first company, it's still difficult. It's still very difficult to embrace the complete flexibility, not just, you know, being based in a flexible workspace and a co-working space, but also and giving some, because pre-COVID we were giving some flexibility to people. It was really, really strong flexibility, but not as you know, work from anywhere, wherever, whenever you want to, which is the whole different level of flexibility. So we struggled with defining our own hybrid work policy. We've been testing out different things, and the only thing that I see right now, it shouldn't be restrictive. It shouldn't be strict, because there is too much unknown out there, and I don't see, like, companies like Google and Apple, they try to make it very strictful and very following a guidance that is like in 2 weeks chunks, and you know, one day up until a certain date, then in 2 weeks, 2 days, then in 3 weeks, another day in the office. That feels so weird to me personally. I think we still have too big unknown. What's the exact impact of hybrid? Is it positive? Is it negative? How positive it's actually on the business? Because at the end of the day, as a CEO, we also have duties to our shareholders, and you need to continue hitting those extremely aggressive goals. And especially if you're a public company, you have a massive burden on your shoulders, and it's just tough. And and you cannot easily risk it. You know how to manage indeed the office type of culture, and yes, you were forced to work in a different way throughout COVID, but it was a forced event. It was a force majeure event. So you kind of always wash your hands. I don't know if I can say this, but you can always blame the lack of growth or whatever.
Yep, that works perfect.
Well, COVID, you know, it's, yeah, people are not interested. I don't know what's happening. You know, it's tough world and all of that. But now, since kind of COVID is fading away, there is going to be more of a push and pressure on CEOs from all the shareholders and the public to deliver those results. So I can imagine people will start reverting back to what was working and not that much forward looking to what's going to work in the future, which is exactly what people and leaders should be doing now. Think about what is it that is going to work in the future and not what was working 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the reckoning is happening in the stock market already.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a story.
Amir, you know, you talked about the leaders, but we're hearing more and more today about the employees and how employees in a lot of these hybrid companies are having more power than ever before to have a say in how their teams work locally or distributed. You know, how do you feel about that? Do you think that's accurate? And how do you think employees will shape their workspace going forward?
Yeah, well, from today's perspective, it's clear that the employees will define how we're going to work, and that's a great power, but also it's a huge burden, by the way.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
now it's a serious thing. Back to the growth and all the goals and that all the companies are having, employees will also have to deliver on those, and I'm personally sure that it's not just going to deliver, they'll over-deliver and the results will be better than anticipated. But I still think it needs to be balanced. And that's why, for me personally, hybrid is the best option for most companies, because working from home is the perfect environment for focused work, but the office is still the better environment for strategic work, alignment, planning, collaboration, innovation, and all of that. So I think the combination of the two will shape the future of work. And as we can see clearly today, employees will have huge impact on how we shape this future. And the more progressive companies like Airbnb will have an upper hand in this, and some will lose attraction. Maybe people have less motivated teams because they were forced and they will have to adjust eventually. Or maybe the market will also, which is touching to Colin's point, I think the market correction that's going now, it's going to be pretty rough. So we'll see, yeah, some difficult market realities, and a lot of startups especially will be challenged that raised too much money on two wrong valuations, might have some real challenges in this environment, and they overstretched their budgets, and all of these startups actually made the whole employee market difficult for everyone. and that correction might result in some not necessarily positive moves across the world in terms of employment and all that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's a
yeah. Well, there's definitely going to be a shakeout, no doubt.
A reckoning.
a reckoning. Yeah, it's Slack did survey, I think like 10,000 employees or something all over the world, and what they found was that employees who worked at companies that they described as technology innovators report a significantly better work experience, something like 111% higher scores on sense of belonging and 177% higher scores on overall satisfaction or something like that. I mean, just the numbers were huge. But and then just, you know, I keep going back to Google. It's like, yes, they're innovators, but they're not right now. You know, they're acting like Blockbuster, you know, in terms of their workforce, and nothing lasts forever. And even the big guys, you know, they're you know, Amazon's getting crushed right now for, you know, they're, you know, AWS is leading the pack, and the rest of the company, the retail side, is just, it's getting hurt. So
yeah,
it's going to be a reckoning, no doubt. Miro, what is something that you see everyone trying to do that you've discovered maybe a better way?
Okay, that's a tough one.
And maybe you've already answered that.
Well, it's I'm actually, yeah, probably going to shift a little gears and the topic. From an entrepreneurial point of view, I think what I've seen also as an engineer, most people are usually, especially in the engineering world, trying to solve problems that do not necessarily exist and basically not validating the need of the customer well enough. And actually, I did that mistake so many times, basically building a solution and then trying to find a problem of that solution. I think that's a very common issue for many tech entrepreneurs. So I was just watching the We Crashed drama last night.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. It's really great. But you can clearly see that the first two ideas of Adam Neumann, they were basically him having a solution that was looking for a problem.
So no doubt.
There's certainly not an issue with, the foldable... anyway. So
yeah. Really, there are a couple of them.
Yeah, real problems. They were just imaginary solutions, and he was trying to find a problem for these. And I think that's a really common pitfall for many entrepreneurs, which I also fell into so many times. But then at some point I learned, and I read a really good book called The Mom Test and How to Talk to Customers and Learn If Your Business is a Good Idea, when basically everyone is lying to you. That's really the full name.
Yeah, the mom test. That's a good one.
The mom test. I think that book specifically completely changed my life, and we have the two of Sunny products right now crushing it because of that book. I learned to listen more than pitching more. So whenever I talk to customers, I try to hear them. I try to listen, try to understand their problems deeply rather than pitching my solution and bragging about how good is it. And then have the confirmation bias from them, which is like usually, yeah, it's great, I love it. And then we'll never buy it though. I'm a nice person, so I'm going to lie to you because I'm just a nice person. I don't want to offend you telling you that the product is not good. So yeah, and that's a thing that I learned. And I think I'm doing it well, but who knows?
Well, your results speak for themselves. You've helped thousands and thousands of companies navigate a flexible and hybrid workplace. So yeah, it's obviously the results speak for themselves. So yeah, you're an engineer. You're a software engineer at heart. That's how you started out. You're in the trenches. So what resources and tools or a channel are people using? What are they not using correctly in thinking about especially a hybrid flexible workforce? Because technology solves a lot of problems. Sometimes, you know, problems we didn't know existed until the technology solved them. So what technology and resources are people not utilizing to try and solve this problem?
Yeah, well, that's the fun. I don't know about tools or technology, but probably a thought or maybe a pattern is to that people usually are not following or using to a full extent is to start small. Mm-hmm. Always try to start small and nimble, and I think that applies really well to hybrid working. Start small. Don't try to build the complete hybrid work policy that covers every single aspect of it, because it's really not possible. There's so many complexities, so you can never really write the ultimate piece that will answer every question to every employee. I can tell you, even on 120 people, that's an endless list.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, yeah. So start small and iterate. That applies to everything: product building, habits working, whatever it is. Just try to build the minimum viable thing. And if it's again in the habit work world, you can start with just a single team and test out different ideas, see how it goes, pilot some tools and products on the market, or even pilot few of them, and measure what are the outcomes. So maybe some of these are better. So yeah, start small and iterate. This can usually bring better results. Be agile and nimble. Of course, that's very common, but a lot of people tend to forget about it. Yeah.
Typically, that's applied to software, but you're saying apply it to people and teams.
Yeah, that applies to software. Yeah.
That's how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Mm-hmm.
And it is. Yeah. There's so many unknowns, like you said. I mean, I love what you said in the beginning. You know, how can a workplace or an office be so static when the workforce is so fluid? So I thought that was brilliant. That was definitely a writer downer, and good for people to think about when they start navigating the hybrid workforce. Yeah, nobody really knows. So you have to be open to the possibilities and the potential of what a workforce might look like moving forward. And that's the same for everything. But the traditionalist, like Eric Schmidt, you know, described himself,
they're going to run into issues.
You know, it just still boggles my mind that, you know, it's like, I know I'm a traditionalist, but I don't want to be, you know, if you're a traditionalist, you're going to get left behind.
Yep.
And you're not going to be competitive as an employer. Yep, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I really think from what you said, Miro, it sounds like experimentation is key. You know, this hybrid experiment is new for all of us, and it's super important that whether you start small with a team or just an employee or two, you have to start somewhere before you roll it out across the entire organization. And so it really sounds like testing it out, refining that process, making sure everybody's happy with it before you go to all 100 plus people is going to be the key to success. And it sounds like that process will continue to involve
to
thousands. And that process will change as you get thousands of people with more offices and more different collaborative and remote type of working that you might not have even considered before. So it's a constantly evolving hybrid strategy and flexible strategy that these teams will need to employ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's really, I guess, refreshing to sit with somebody who has been so forward thinking, Miro. So hats off to you and congratulations to your success and the company, and I wish you continued success moving forward. And I appreciate you coming in and sharing some of your insights about what the future of work is going to look like. Any other thoughts you'd like to share, or especially somebody who, you know, companies that haven't gotten started and they're not even back to work? What are the one or two things you would suggest they might do first?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. It was great, really nice chat, guys. So, well, one again, probably it's the same, but test out different things. Try co-working spaces; they're just awesome. Test out hybrid working, and just make it simple. You know. One day a week, get the whole team together back to the office, see how it goes, organize more in-person events and all of that, which will certainly increase the engagement and satisfaction. Go out and just meet people. It's all good.
We've forgotten how to do that after 2 years at home. So I think that's sound advice.
I know.
Yeah, somebody's got to facilitate that.
Yeah. Don't commit to fixed static space. I think it's kind of sounds like a thing of the past to me.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of new job descriptions pop up, and I just thought of one that maybe we need, and that's a workplace engagement facilitator.
That's it, workplace experience manager as well.
That's the job of the future right there.
Yeah, it probably already exists. I mean, you can't really make things up anymore, but it probably already exists. Mike, any parting words on your side?
No, I mean, I think this has been super insightful, seeing some of the ways that you've been looking at this, Miro, and the way that Office R&D has been uniquely prepared for this in some ways. You know, we were building a lot of this technology even before COVID happened. You were already starting to think about the way that hybrid work should work and plan for that. So now that COVID has happened, it's only accelerated this trend and will continue to accelerate the trend. You know, JLL has a famous statistic out there that by 2030, they say 30% of office spaces will be flexible and co-working spaces. And, you know, as we've spoken about today, I truly see the market continuing to rapidly move in that direction. And a lot of the things, Mira, you've said just continue to prove that. So yeah, again, thank you so much for coming on today. We'd love to have you again on in the future, just to see how things are doing and continue to get your insights about flexible and hybrid work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any parting words on your end, Miro, besides what you've already given us?
Oh, that was great. No, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Mike, see you later. And thank you, everybody. Miro, CEO, co-founder of Office R&D, global software solutions provider for flexible and hybrid work solutions. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Bye-bye.
Office R&D helps flex space operators and hybrid teams manage the workplace of the future. Join the thousands of companies that rely on Office R&D to keep their offices running smoothly. For more information, visit officerd.com. You've been listening to FlexWorld, the workplace revolution, a podcast from Office R&D. Keep connected with us by subscribing to the show in your favorite podcast player. If you like what you've heard, please rate the show. That helps us keep delivering the latest insight on hybrid workplace innovation. Thanks for listening. Until next time.